The following audio is from All Saints Presbyterian Church. For more info about the church, please visit our website at allsaintsgb.org.
Aim to be from God, we too can be sheep that are easily led astray and accept whatever teaching comes our way. This church in Asia Minor is being led astray by wolves. They're false teachers, but the thing about these false teachers is they are dressed looking just like sheep. So what if, rather than accepting things face value, church, and sending you even just one degree off course of Jesus, you were able today to test and tell a spiritual truth from a spiritual lie? Because it can be very subtle. Could this discernment and this testing now protect us from a vicious attack that comes later? As we listen to God's word, as we hear John speak, let's prepare to set our compass points on the true north of the gospel of Jesus and recognize what might take us even one degree off course. Hear now the word of the Lord, if you would stand, from 1 John chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So what God's word is saying, what John is saying is this: know this truth. Any offer of hope apart from Jesus Christ is a lie. Know this truth. Any offer of hope apart from Jesus Christ is a lie. And what John says in this letter, it says, what someone confesses about Jesus, confesses, that word involves a public, a passionate declaration when under pressure. That's what confessing is. You think about criminals when they have to confess a crime. You're under pressure. And when pressure comes, what do they say about Jesus? Because that's going to indicate whether it's true or false. If Jesus is confessed to be in the flesh, if Jesus is confessed to be an incarnate God in the flesh, you can trust that to be from God's Spirit. Or the word is pneuma, which means breath or breeze or wind of God. You can trust that's the wind of God blowing when Jesus is professed to be fully God and fully man. If Jesus is confessed not to be God in the flesh, not sent from God, then recognize that spirit, that breath, that wind as bad breath. The word pneumonia. Think about it like pneumonia. There's pneuma, which is God's spirit, and then there's pneumonia, which are these bad breath, false spirits. And he says in verse 3, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. They profess that Jesus is not the Christ. When he says this is the spirit of the Antichrist, it's not a certain specific individual that you're looking for like in a Left Behind book. It's not a capital A Antichrist. Instead, what you're looking for is the breath of the Antichrist, the spirit of what comes out of any preacher or prophet's mouth that claims to be the voice of God. If they deny Jesus' full divinity and full humanity, do not believe them. Do not put your trust, your reliance in anything they are saying. It will send you off course even by one degree. John also points to another indicator. At the end in verse 6, he points to the apostolic, the apostles' authority as another test of recognizing true from false prophets. The apostles, the ones who saw Jesus in the flesh, who had breakfast, lunch, dinner with him, who heard him snore in the tent next to him, who rode in the same boat as Jesus. These eyewitnesses saw Jesus, lived with Jesus, saw him crucified, saw him buried, saw him come back to life, saw Jesus leave in the sky. If you believe them, you're with God's Spirit. Every preacher, friends, every preacher after the apostles are basing their preaching on the Word of God and the witness of the apostles. I believe and preach Jesus was crucified, he came back to life, and he was glorified because of what the apostles saw, not what I saw. I take their word for it, and I run with it. If there are preachers who deny this apostolic authority or add to this apostolic authority, claiming, I have a vision from God that I've seen something on my own, follow this vision that I have, or they're denying what the apostles saw, they are false. They are not from God. It sounds pretty cut and dry, right? I could be able to end it here. You guys got it? You got your discernment? Great. We're good to go. All right. Problem is, why do false prophets still make their way into the church? How does it still work that false prophets' messages still make their way into our hearts and our churches? Why? This is where the discernment gets a little trickier. It's because false prophets often trade the hope of heaven for a hope that is here and now, that is present tense hope. That's what makes false prophets and false teachers so attractive, because they offer a hope in the here and now, a hope in the world rather than a hope in the one who reigns in heaven. Ever been drawn into a false prophet's preaching or teaching? They can just be one degree off from Jesus, even claiming to be in relationship with Jesus, but take you off course, just one degree. And as we test spiritual truths from lies, it's helpful maybe to characterize what comes out of a false prophet's mouth. I'm going to call it the bad breath of a false prophet, just to give you some things to discern and pay attention to. First thing you might listen for is, what is this false prophet's goal? It's probably some kind of name recognition. Prophets in their bad breath are probably saying, see me more than you see Jesus. If you're looking on their website, and maybe it's a Christian website, you're going to see their face on the cover of that website. You're going to see their name as the .com, not Jesus' name, or not some reference to the gospel. That's probably an indicator you might be heading one degree off. Secondly, a false prophet's audience. False prophets love to prey. Wolves love to prey on the weak, the vulnerable, and the insecure. And what they're going to say is, you need me as much as you need Jesus. You need what I have to offer as much as you need, or maybe more, you need me than what Jesus has to offer. That's what the bad breath is going to be saying. And it's probably going to involve some kind of subscription, I'm guessing. You're going to have to pay money to need what they have to offer, I'm guessing. Maybe. Maybe not. And probably it comes in the form of an offering. If you give to this ministry, then you will get this prayer cloth, or something that will assure you that you're going to be okay. False prophet offers a certain lifestyle or piety where they say, be like me or be like this, and it has nothing to do or less to do with Jesus and more to do with them. Their personality, the bad breath of their personality, you're going to see it probably in charisma. Charisma and promises, a lot of promises of what they're going to offer you. Follow me or this new idea. It's going to transform and change your life here and now. And then the false prophet's going to be afraid of something. False prophets are crazy afraid of losing their power and influence. If you question them and they say, don't you question me, I'm the authority here, then you might have a problem. False prophets' power is also their expertise. They know more than you. Even the Bible, they know more than you. They know more maybe than even Jesus, they might think. Their kryptonite, the thing that weakens them, false prophets, is accountability, submission, authority. They don't like to report to anyone. They are the end of the authority ladder or structure. I report to myself as much as I report to Jesus. Bad breath. How do they view the church? A false prophet. This is where it gets tricky too, but a false prophet will usually say, we are separate from the church, or we are the better church, or we are distinct from the church, or don't trust the church. Don't trust Jesus's bride. Watch out. 1 degree of difference. We represent a better community than Jesus's community. Watch out. A false prophet's view of sin. Downplay it or master it on yourself, on your own. You don't need Jesus to deal with it. You need to get your act together or it's not really that big of a deal. That's what you'll see a false prophet saying about sin. And then their credibility, where do they find credibility? What do they advertise in their website? Size, influence, spread. Look at all of the places that we are in our ministry or our organization. Look at all that we're doing. And lastly, I think the one we probably need to pay most close attention to is their offer. And what the offer usually is some kind of easy button. An easy button. I offer a simpler, easier, or faster solution to every one of your problems than Jesus. Who says you're going to have to suffer? No. Let's hit the easy button. John's readers were accepting everything coming their way because there were some easy buttons they were having a hard time refusing. Because we can do that too. We can find false hope in good things found in the world. In our flesh, we are still drawn to accept anything that will make us feel better now. In the here and now. And false prophets love that. They love offering false hope, a hope that's apart from Jesus right now. Sensual pleasures that will offer a faster comfort than waiting on God. Food that will taste sweeter, quicker than the Lord's goodness. False prophets prey on our impatience. There's no waiting in aisle 5 for a fix. Come, this way, it's fast, it's ready to go. You see this with advertisers, friends. False hopes offered in the here and now. What's going to happen to hope when the Brewers don't make it into the World Series? What's going to happen when the Packers are out in the first round of the playoffs? What's going to happen to your hope? You ever think every advertisement is a false prophet? Every advertisement, it's not just people. You deserve a break today. Go to McDonald's, right? Offer. Popular musicians, Swifties, I don't know what Taylor's offering you, but it's some kind of hope, and it's probably in some kind of earthly relationship, even though she breaks up with so many people in her songs, right? There's a false hope offered. Think about the songs you listen to. False hope. There's all these false hopes in the here and now. Sports. Or news anchors are false prophets oftentimes. They're offering you a hope. And it's not from heaven. It's not from God. Any hope not from heaven, friends, has an expiration date. Some are sooner than others. And then, friends, in the church, there's lots of false prophets in the religious. Those who see the trappings, they can recognize, that world and what the world's offering. Yes, that's a hopeless pursuit. Never going to follow any of those ads or Taylor Swift songs. No way. So instead, they're going to deny themselves pleasure. They're going to get religious. They're going to start behaving rightly. I don't swear, I don't chew, I don't mingle with those who do, and it's going to give them a sense of hope that I'm okay with God now. And when they fail on their self-righteousness, when they can't quite live that good religious life apart from Jesus, and it's 2 a.m., guess what websites they're probably sorting on and finding themselves on? DraftKings, porn links, checking out diamond rings. Under all of this is a lie that says there's a better option for help and hope apart from Jesus. False prophets will say something very subtly. Jesus is going to limit you. Jesus is going to take away your freedom. Jesus is going to restrict you. He's aloof. He's far away. And we want a hope that's within our reach, so we trade the hope for Jesus in heaven for the here and now. Just one degree at a time, we trade our hope until we've lost our savings to this false prophet, giving all of our money to them. We've dove headlong into the sewers of sexual stink. We're depressed as a single on Christian Mingle. That false hope wasn't there. But the good news is, friends, God's Spirit can silence every false hope spirit with one thing: the cross of Jesus Christ. What hope does God's Spirit speak about Jesus on that cross? What hope does God's Spirit speak about us through the cross? The cross silences every false hope with a true prophet and a true preacher preaching his sermon as he loses his breath, as he runs out of breath, as he suffers. The true prophet's goal on the cross, friends, is not his own name recognition. Jesus wasn't on the cross saying, "Look at me." Jesus was on the cross saying, "See how much the Father loves you that he gave me to you." It's not his own end. It's his Father's love he wants the world to see. Who's his audience? It's still the vulnerable. It's still the insecure. But he's offering them a place to be safe and to be saved through hoping in him. It's not a false offer. It's a true offer. And he's asking something. He's asking for faith and trust in his complete true north perfection. He's saying to everyone who's gone off course, all of your going off course I've paid for. I'm here on the cross to right all your wrongs and put you right with God 100%. He will be well pleased with you if you trust in me. And his personality, he's not a charismatic front man. He's a servant to give you forgiveness by dying, by making himself nothing in order that you could have something. And his power doesn't come from that charisma. His power comes from the Spirit of God who would raise him from the dead. And his view of the church, he loves broken and busted sheep who need a good shepherd. He wants to rescue them from their deadly pits by getting in the pit and having everyone stand on him. He hates sin. He despises sin. He takes it seriously, so seriously that he endured the shame of sin on the cross. He takes it so seriously that someone's got to pay for it. I will pay for it, Jesus says. That's his view of sin. Look at the cross. If you want to see how serious Jesus takes sin, look at the cross. It's pretty serious. And then his credibility. It's not in the size of his following, It is in the extent of his love. He has no more to give than everything for you. He's not offering you the easy button. He says, you've got to take up a cross when you follow me. But he's offering you something that is far better than this world could ever offer. He's offering you a life with him in paradise. Not here and now. It's going to be hard here and now. It is going to be hard here and now. He's offering you a life with him in paradise. He's offering to lift your burden of sin, take you out of the world's offers. He's offering to give you his spirit, power that you couldn't ever dream of, could do things that no one else could do. And when you see this, and you see what is now possible with Christ and him crucified, then a compound effect can occur, but not here and now. When Jesus is our hope, the compound effect that's going on is not here. It's going on in heaven. It's going on beyond here. Instead of being blown around by empty offers in the here and now, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I know you're building a house and you're building a home in heaven that's far better than here. When empty offers come my way, I can see them for what they are. They're temporary, they're a vapor, they're vanity. I can reject these offers because the cross is the best offer there is. My false hopes are generated through sin. They're crucified, and my true hope is found in him. And so when false hope offers come our way, how might you respond? You can reject every other offer. Every other offer, you can reject it flat out because the cross is the only hope that's secure. Greater is the hope that is in you, he says in verse 4, than the hope that is in the world. Greater is what is in you, the Spirit of God, a deposit guaranteeing what's coming than he that's in the world. When the false prophets come to you like used car salesmen, you get to walk away and say, I already have my transportation vehicle. I don't need what you have to offer me. I have a home with God. When they're persuasive and powerful, we can ask them, hey, are you willing to die for me? I'm guessing most cult leaders, most false prophets would say, no, probably not. I found someone who has. And when they're denying that Jesus is all-powerful, we can remember, this guy in front of me has never been raised from the dead. This guy's going to end up in the grave and stay there. Jesus came up from the dead. And when the false prophets, friends, when the offers of the advertisements, all of the places where you hear these offers of hope in the here and now, they become so loud. When they become louder than the Spirit's whisper, see Jesus, the Lamb who did not open his mouth to preach a sermon, but opened his arms to be the sermon, to be the sacrifice for your sin. The Spirit's whisper, friends, that you have in you, greater is he who is in you than he is in the world, is the guaranteed payment of hope. A hope that is not in the here and now, a hope that's to come. And so as Romans 8 says, we wait for it patiently. I'll close with this. I hesitate sharing this story with you because it was so beautiful and personal. And I hesitate to share it with you because it was a dream, and I hope I'm not a false prophet. But I had a dream this week that I wanted to share with you, and it was vivid. And I'll try to explain how the dream went, because I don't usually have good dreams. My dreams are biased, really negatively biased. I have anxious dreams, like I'm late for school or a class, or like those. My dreams are more like that. This dream was not like this. And so in this vivid dream, there was a closet in our house that had a door I had never seen before. And I opened the door to this closet, and it led me into this foyer of this house that was absolutely gorgeous. Like, I don't know how to explain it, except the quality and the materials by which this house was built was exceptional. Like the wood trim was thick and stained maple, like beautiful wood floors, marble countertops. Like it was a home that I knew I will never be able to afford, right? So I walk into the foyer, and then it's a weird house because it was shaped like a path. It wasn't like square, it was like a path. And so I kept walking, and then I went into the living room, and in the living room was this big bay window looking up on this incredible mountain, like snowy, snow-capped mountain. I'm like, oh, that's gorgeous. That is beautiful. It's like Wyoming. I'm like, that's incredible. Look at that view. And then in the living room, there's like these huge, comfy couches. Like, I just wanted to like plop on the couch, and like, it was like, this is amazing. And then I went into the kitchen. The kitchen, again, marble countertops. I like baking. I like cooking. It was laid out perfectly for baking and cooking. I can't explain to you why, but like the way the traffic flow worked and every equipment that was in there, I'm like, this would be a perfect place to bake something or cook something. This isn't, it's like a chef's kitchen. And then near the end of the dream, I came upon like the dining room area or gathering area. It was something, I don't know exactly what this room was, but right outside the windows, lots of windows, of this gathering area was this stream. And it was like turquoise blue. Like it was like, not creeks, you know, it wasn't like the creek up the river in Door County. No, this was like a stream that was like babbling and flowing really heavy with like bright blue water. Like almost like tropical water. I just wanted to dive into that stream. And it was right outside. And when I saw that stream, I was like, oh, that's when I settled. I'm like, I would love to live here. And then I saw the stream actually made its way under this little place into the house. Like it was like the water supply for the kitchen. Like I could just go to the stream and just grab from the stream. And I was like, this is the most gorgeous house I have ever seen in my entire life. And then right at the end of the dream, this is why I hesitate to share, right at the end of the dream was sort of a sense, I don't know, it was a voice, I'm not going to say it was from God, I don't know, was this sense that was like, welcome home. This is yours. This is your place. So all of the pain, suffering, hardship, things that are going on now, I'm building a house for you. This is where you're going to live. There's a hope, not here, but there. And there's a river whose stream makes glad the city of God. That you can live here and love here and invite people here. And it's going to be amazing. And it cost me everything, cost you nothing, but it's yours. It's yours. Welcome home, but not yet. And I went in the shower that morning as I thought of the gift of grace that this dream was in this home that seemed so real. And I just sat in the shower and I just wept. And I was like, that is a better offer than anything this world could offer me here. Stay the course, friends, of silencing every false hope spirit with the truth that God's spirit is flowing in a home, in a place that is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and Jesus' righteousness. Welcome home, but not yet. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the hope that it offers us. A hope that is Jesus and what Jesus has secured. And we thank you that we have your spirit, which reminds us of that hope that is to come. Thank you for the cross, which paid our penalty for listening to every false preacher, including the devil in the garden. Thank you for offering us a writing back into the way it needs to be, a perfection that can only come from Jesus. We want to be a people who reject false offer hopes and say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. Do that work through your spirit in us that we may know there is a home you are building, there is a place that you are building, and it is far better than any offer this world could give. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.